Imagine training for a grueling marathon for like 4 solid months. You're running hundreds of miles in the freezing rain. You totally overhaul your diet.
Right, yeah, you're pushing your body to the absolute brink.
Exactly. And then on race day, after you finally cross the finish line, your coach pulls you aside and says, "Hey, your lifelong maintenance plan to keep all that fitness is, well, it's just doing 3 toe touches every morning."
You'd think they were completely out of their mind. I mean, that makes no sense.
It sounds absurd. But, you know, when we talk about reaching the end of a massive life-changing journey, there's this built-in expectation of a grand finale. Like, we want a cinematic moment where we plant our flag at the summit and just, I don't know, stay there forever.
Well, the human brain actually desperately craves a definitive endpoint. We're wired to seek resolution, to just close the loop on a difficult task and, permanently file it away as finished.
Yeah, but when you step into the world of deep behavioral change, that mountain peak looks drastically different.
Yeah.
We're looking at a landscape that doesn't just like freeze in place because you finish the hard part.
It really doesn't.
So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're exploring the culmination of a really intense personal development journey. You've just completed 16 weeks of heavy, heavy self-reflection using Jack Spirko's Laws of Life workbook.
Which is no small feat, by the way.
Oh, not at all. You've spent months analyzing your toxic behaviors, confronting your deepest excuses, and setting entirely new personal standards. But the real question for you right now is, what actually comes next?
Right, because what comes next isn't a victory lap. It is a profound neurological transition, going from months of high-friction cognitive load to a sudden complete stop it. Can actually leave the brain pretty disoriented.
Yeah, as a psychology professor, I can tell you that transition can feel incredibly jarring. You go from having this structured, heavy emotional lifting every single week to just a wide-open horizon.
Which is terrifying for a lot of people.
Totally. So today, our mission is to explore what the author calls the way forward. It's the specific, long-term daily practice designed to seamlessly follow those 16 weeks. Okay, let's unpack this because going from deep psychological excavation to a tiny daily maintenance phase is a fascinating shift in how we manage our own minds.
It really is. We need to understand exactly how 16 weeks of focused mental strain turns a simple, static daily reading into a remarkably powerful behavioral trigger.
Right, but before we get to the brain science of it all, we should probably clearly establish the architecture of what you are actually doing every day now that those initial 16 weeks are over.
Good idea. Let's lay out the mechanic.
So you are stepping into a 16-day rotational daily practice list.
Yeah.
You basically block out just 3 to 5 minutes a day. And in that time, you review exactly 5 items that you curated yourself during the workbook process.
Just 5 items? It's very fast.
Super fast. You read Law of Life, a quote that really speaks to you, a distilled point hitting on some desired improvement, a mental code rewrite designed to like override a limiting belief, and finally a bedtime question to frame your subconscious before sleep.
And because this rotates over a 16-day cycle, it equates to exactly 80 highly personalized pieces of advice, basically 16 of each of those 5 categories, just cycling continuously.
Exactly. And the practice requires reading them and simply reflecting on how each one relates to something currently happening in your life. But here is my hang-up from a behavioral psychology standpoint.
Okay, pay me.
If you've already spent 16 weeks journaling, doing these painful self-audits, and fundamentally changing your worldview, a 5-minute daily review sounds completely passive. It brings me back to the marathon analogy. Doing 3 toe touches every morning does not sustain cardiovascular endurance.
Right.
So how does a 5-minute reading actually sustain the momentum of a major life overhaul?
Well, what's fascinating here is what is happening at the synaptic level. You aren't learning new material in those 5 minutes. The marathon is over. The heavy lifting is done. Your brain has, already built the new neural pathways.
So the infrastructure is already there.
Exactly. The daily stack is just the biological mechanism that prevents those newly formed pathways from being destroyed by the brain's natural pruning process.
Ah, pruning. That's the brain's ruthless use it or lose it function.
Right. Spot on. Your brain is an incredibly efficient energy manager. If it builds a pathway, say, a completely new way to handle conflict with your spouse or a new perspective on managing your anxiety, but you don't use that specific pathway regularly, the brain just assumes it isn't needed anymore.
It just tears up the road.
Pretty much. It breaks down those synaptic connections to save calories. So doing those three toe touches, to use your analogy, isn't about building new muscle. It's about sending a targeted electrical signal through the exact circuits you spent 16 weeks building.
Oh, wow. So it's just keeping the lights on in that part of the brain.
Yes, it keeps the established behavioral loops active by maintaining the myelin. Think of myelin as like the fatty insulation around a wire. The more you fire a circuit, the thicker that insulation gets and the faster the electrical signal travels.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Right. So the daily reading keeps that insulation thick and your new behaviors highly accessible.
So the 5 minutes is just flipping the switch to keep the power flowing through that specific grid.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the core mechanism of this entire system. We've established that the daily stack acts as a trigger.
A very specific trigger, yeah.
Right. But why is reading a single sentence today somehow 100 times more powerful than when you casually skimmed that exact same sentence on a motivational poster 16 weeks ago?
Well, the author explicitly notes that you aren't Neo in the Matrix, right? You don't just plug a cable into the back of your neck and instantly download the ability to fly a helicopter.
I wish.
We all do. But the brain doesn't accept zip files of information without context.
Right, because during those 16 weeks of work, your mind was literally rewiring synapses. You spent days journaling, wrestling with difficult concepts, answering incredibly hard questions about your own failures and ambitions.
Exactly. And because of that sustained cognitive friction, a chosen quote or distill point is no longer just generic good advice.
It's become something else entirely.
It has permanent contextual weight. It is forever mentally linked to the deep emotional labor you performed that specific week. Your limbic system, which, you know, processes and stores emotion, has tagged that specific string of words as highly significant to your survival and social standing.
The author actually gives a fantastic, super concrete example of this from his own life regarding week 7 of the program.
Oh, the table story.
Yeah, the table story. So the quote he had in his rotation was, "The standard you walk past is the standard you accept," by David Morrison. And he talks about walking past a table he had left out in his workspace after finishing a project.
Right. A classic moment of, I'll just get to that later.
Exactly. He sees the table, and instead of ignoring it to clean up later like he normally might, he automatically recalls the quote. He notes that he literally heard David Morrison's voice in his head, acting like a personal advisor.
And he immediately stopped, folded the table, and put it away.
Yes. And here's where it gets really interesting. Let's say someone sipped the 16 weeks. They just bought a list of these quotes on day one, read them, and saw a messy table. Would they have stopped to put it away?
Neurologically speaking, almost certainly not.
Really? Just ignored it completely?
Pretty much. I mean, the words are identical, but a swift, unearned list is neurologically hollow. The brain requires contextual weight to initiate a behavioral change that goes against its desire to conserve energy.
Right, because cleaning at the table takes effort.
Exactly. If you just buy a list of quotes, your brain processes it superficially through the prefrontal cortex as abstract information. It's inspiring for a fleeting second, but it has no dense associative network tied to your actual physical behavior.
It's the equivalent of reading a bumper sticker in traffic. Like, it doesn't actually change how you drive.
That's a perfect way to put it. The 16 weeks of friction provided the emotional stakes needed to turn that string of words into an automatic behavioral response. When the author saw the table, his brain didn't just, you know, read a quote in his mind's eye.
It accessed the whole network.
It accessed the entire neural network of week 7. The journaling, the painful self-reflection on his own leadership, the memories of times he let standards slip in the past and suffered for it. All of that fired simultaneously in a fraction of a second. That is the mental link.
So the 5 minutes of reading isn't just reading words. It's unzipping a massive file of compressed personal development work and bringing all that complex emotional learning right into your working memory for the day.
Exactly. Your brain has securely wired these specific quotes and mental code rewrites as behavioral triggers.
That makes perfect sense for where you are right now at the end of the 16 weeks. But human lives aren't static, though. You change. Your circumstances drastically change.
They inevitably do.
So how does this static list of 80 items remain relevant as you evolve over the next 5, 10, or 20 years?
Well, the daily practice is explicitly designed to evolve alongside you. The author frames these 5 daily points as your daily advisors. Every time you read them, you are prompted to ask 2 specific anchoring questions.
Right, the daily questions.
First, what does this most apply to in my life right now? And second, what weakness do I have that this point pushes me to become better at?
So you aren't just reciting a daily affirmation into a mirror. you are actively forcing your brain to run a pattern recognition algorithm. You're comparing the static quote against your highly dynamic, messy current environment.
Exactly.
I look at this through the lens of psychological maturation. It's exactly like rereading a profound novel 10 years later. You read a classic book at age 20, and you fiercely identify with the rebellious teenager.
Oh, absolutely.
But then you read that exact same book at age 40, and suddenly you empathize entirely with the exhausted parents. The book didn't change a single comma. You changed. The lens through which you view the text evolved.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what you are describing is neuroplasticity in action over a lifespan. Let's look at a mental code rewrite you might have crafted in week 9 about destroying excuses.
Okay, let's trace that.
Maybe when you first wrote it at age 25, it meant destroying excuses about getting your chaotic finances in order. You were broke, panicked, and needed to fix it.
Been there.
We all have. But you read that exact same code 10 years later. Your finances are rock solid now, but the code means something entirely different because you're making excuses to avoid a difficult, necessary conversation with a family member.
Oh, that's brilliant.
The stimulus remains constant, but the associative network it activates updates dynamically based on your current environmental inputs. It's a permanently evolving algorithm.
And the math behind this evolution is something the author really highlights as critical. He notes that if you find even just one link per day between your daily stack and your life, the compounding effect is massive.
It really is.
He says improving just 2% per month across various areas of your life yields a 26% improvement in a single year. But looking at that psychologically, 2% a month seems almost completely negligible. Most people want like a 50% improvement by Tuesday.
Sure they do, but the brain actually loves small, highly achievable increments much more than grand sweeping goals.
Really? Why is that?
Grand goals often trigger the amygdala's fear response because they represent a massive expenditure of energy and a very high risk of failure. When you ask, how does this apply to my life right now? You are giving your brain a highly constrained, safe problem to solve.
It doesn't have to fix your entire life. It just has to find a tiny 2% alignment for today.
Exactly. And when it finds that connection, it closes an open cognitive loop. That closure creates a micro dose of dopamine, which reinforces the habit of looking for solutions again tomorrow.
Which brings up a massive potential roadblock for any long-term endeavor. The greatest enemy of any daily repetitive practice, whether it's a strict diet, a workout routine, or a mental habit, is sheer boredom.
Oh, yeah. The brain hates boredom.
In psychology, we refer to this as habituation. When a stimulus is repeated too often, the brain simply stops noticing it. That's why you stop smelling your own perfume 10 minutes after you put it on. The brain just tunes it out.
Right.
So how does this system prevent your mind from eventually tuning out a 16-day rotation? I mean, by day 80, you've seen the exact same quotes 5 times.
The author actually built a mathematical safeguard directly into the system to prevent habituation. The rule is very simple. If the daily stack ever becomes mundane, or if a quote stops resonating and feels like invisible perfume, you simply open the workbook and select a different quote, distill point, or code for that specific week.
You just swap out a module?
You swap it out. And the sheer math of those combinations is what provides the endless novelty. The author actually had this checked by multiple AI models, ChatGPT, Gemini, Grok, Claude, just to verify the scale of the numbers.
And what were the numbers?
Just from the base options provided in the book, there are over 430 sextillion combinations.
That's an insane number.
It gets crazier. When you factor in the self-sourced quotes, the ones you generate yourself, using an AI prompt to find something uniquely tailored to your specific situation, the number jumps to over 1.98 times 10 to the 41st power.
Wait, really?
Yes. That is 1.21 undecillion combinations.
So what does this all mean? Hold on. Looking at this as a behavioral psychologist, there's a slight disconnect here.
How so?
Well, 1.21 undecillion is a fantastic marketing hook. It sounds incredibly impressive. But practically speaking, as an individual, I'm only reading my 5 items a day.
All right.
I will never, ever experience 1.21 undecillion combinations. I just experience my 80. So why is the author hammering this astronomical math so hard if the sheer scale doesn't practically alter my daily 5 minutes? Like, why does it matter to you, the listener?
It sounds absurd until you realize this raises an important question about human psychology. How do we assign value to our own tools? It matters for 2 distinct neurological reasons.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, the IKEA effect. we assign significantly higher value to things we assemble ourselves. Because you curated this exact combination from an almost infinite universe of choices, your brain assigns it a vastly higher intrinsic value.
Because I made it. It's mine.
Exactly. Your specific combination of 80 items is undeniably yours. Your brain knows this isn't generic, off-the-shelf advice. It's a bespoke operating system you built. That personalization drastically increases daily compliance and focused attention.
It's not just a self-help book. It is a highly specific mirror reflecting your own mind back at you.
Yes. And the second reason the massive math matters is that it represents an infinite safety net against prediction errors.
What do you mean by prediction errors?
Habituation happens because the brain acts as a prediction machine. If it can perfectly predict what a quote says, it stops paying attention to save energy.
It just zones out.
Right. But the moment the practice feels stale, the moment you feel yourself skimming the words instead of reflecting on them, you have an endless reservoir of pre-vetted, highly contextualized alternatives. You reach into your workbook, swap one quote for another, and forcefully introduce a prediction error.
Ah, I see. Because the new quote is unexpected, the brain's prediction engine fails. Has to wake up and pay attention to process the new information.
Wait, exactly. That prediction error triggers a fresh spike of dopamine. And because the new quote still ties back to the deep emotional work you did during that specific week, it still successfully accesses that established neural network.
That is so elegant.
You get the sudden novelty the brain craves to stay engaged without ever losing the deep structural foundation you built.
It's like having an infinite wardrobe. But every single item of clothing was custom tailored to fit your exact measurements. You never get bored because you can always wear something new.
Yeah.
But you always look sharp because the underlying fit was established during those 16 weeks of hard tailoring.
And you never have to start the exhausting tailoring process from scratch ever again.
Wow. Stepping back to look at the entire journey, you spent 16 weeks doing the agonizing work. You broke down your long-standing excuses. You meticulously audited your daily behaviors. You defined your non-negotiable standards.
The hard part.
Right. That was the construction phase. You were pouring concrete and framing the walls of the house in the freezing rain. The way forward, this tiny daily 5-minute practice, is where you actually get to live inside the house.
It's where you collect the compounding interest on all that pain.
Precisely. By tying quick daily triggers to the deep emotional learning you experienced, and by utilizing infinite mathematical variations so you never go blind to the words, you've built something incredibly resilient.
You've built a permanently evolving, completely unique operating guide for your life. One that adapts with you as you age, as your career takes unexpected turns, as your family dynamics completely change.
It's the difference between memorizing a static paper map once and having a GPS system that updates in real time based on your exact coordinates.
I love that analogy.
The ultimate destination remains the same, becoming a drastically better version of yourself. But the daily turn-by-turn navigation adjusts to whatever specific roadblocks or detours are in front of you that morning. The heavy lifting might be over, but those daily toe touches are the exact mechanism that keeps the entire system from collapsing back into your old defaults.
Which leaves us with a pretty profound final thought to consider for today.
Yeah.
If your brain is this incredibly capable of fundamentally rewiring its behavioral pathways and sustaining them using just 5 minutes of intentional, highly curated daily review, what other ambient, unchosen messages in your daily environment are currently running 5-minute loops in your life, silently rewiring your brain without your permission?